If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me is the Thursday morning version of Mike Tagliere, and that is the best version of all the Mike Tagliere's. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL Tags. I mean, are you in as good a mood as you always are on Thursday mornings?
I'm in an even better mood today, actually. I got a workout in. So I typically on Thursday mornings, I don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. like I typically do. I usually get up like 6. And today I woke up at 5:30 without my alarm and I just got up. I did my work and I actually did a workout before the show. So I'm feeling good, man.
Two things. First, you broke the code. I thought we agreed that we were just going to not work out and get real fat during this NFL season. And I feel like you're just throwing that, you know, out the window, which annoys me a little bit. And second, I have spent my entire morning doing remote learning. And I realized that not only would I fail both fourth and second grade if I had to do them again, but I'm a terrible person to be directing remote learning. So hopefully my kids do better. I hope they listen to this show because they're going to get some great information. It's our DFS show, and we have the best guest actually today. It's Jared Smola from Draft Sharks. He's on Twitter at SmolaDS. Jared, thank you for coming on today. How's it going?
It's going good, guys. Thanks for having me back. I know Dan's trying to jinx me here, talking about, you know, my lead in the rankings competition when we still have a whole lot of football left.
So No. Let's address the elephant in the room, okay? Let's just talk about this because you're going to see some, you know, animosity coming on between all of us. I mean, Jared, you know what we do here at Fantasy Pros. We rank the accuracy of over 150 analysts in our fantasy community. And through 5 weeks, Jared is the most accurate expert. Now, I do not want to put too much pressure on you, Jared, but coming into this, I have to assume, given that you are the most accurate expert, that every one of the many takes that you are going to provide on this here show is going to be absolutely perfect, given your track record, and anything less is going to result in an invitation to all future podcasts. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, sure. I don't miss.
Yeah.
My wife and I had our first kid actually exactly a month ago today.
Congratulations.
What? How are you doing so well in the accuracy competition then? What is happening?
The baby came the day after week one ended. And I didn't have a good week one, but since then, these past 4 weeks, I've been hot. So you know, I got the baby swag working.
There you go. The baby's sleeping at this time, to be fair. Like, wait till it starts walking around. Then you're going to be screwed. Right. So, like, a year from now, Jared's going to be like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, next season I'm screwed.
But your baby is clearly cheating in some way, so I'm going to need his or her name, address, and social security number just to make sure I can take care of this. Okay, anyway, it's our DFS show. It's you know what we do on our DFS show. It's our usual plan. We're going to start with the favorite pricier cash game play at each position. Then we'll discuss a couple of cash game value plays at each position. We'll do one GPP gamble at each position. Quick discussion of a defense that you guys like. And then your stack of the week and your lock of the week. But before we get into it, in a few hours from now, after recording this podcast, I'm going to record another podcast. It's our Betting Pros NFL podcast, where Matt Peralta and I are going to break down the entire week 6 slate from a betting perspective. Matt hosts the Daily Juice podcast. That's a daily 15-minute show, which breaks down the best bets of each day, regardless of the sport. The Betting Pros NFL podcast drops overnight on Thursdays. It is available wherever you get your podcasts or on bettingpros.com/podcast. Now, Matt has been out in Vegas for many years. He's got a ton of connections with bookmakers and Vegas insiders. He offers a ton of great insights into games based on that. And those usually guide our picks in the $1 million DraftKings Pick'em Championship, where we are holding water. We're in the top third. We are trying to have that one giant 5-0 week. Again, that's the Betting Pros NFL podcast, anywhere you listen to podcasts or on bettingpros.com/podcast. All right. Favorite pricier cash game play of the day. Most accurate human. Go ahead. Start us off, Jared. What do you got?
Are we starting with quarterback here?
Oh, yeah, let's start at running back. I don't think I ever specify, because running back, that's where everybody
that's
likes
where the,
to talk
that's
about.
Where the meat is. It's
that's
like,
where
yes.
the meat is.
It's like the loin of a pork.
Also, hold on 1 sec. And let me just, we should start, although I will admit that it's one of your worst accuracy, you know, things, since you're only 14th in out of 150
How
at
dare
running
you,
back.
Jared.
It's not like wide receiver where you're fourth, or tight end where you're fifth, or, by the way, props, kicker where you're ninth, which I like kicking, you know, tags and I sort of argue at it. I will say that I'm 16th in kicking, so I'm right behind you. I just want that out there, okay? Because my kicker accuracy is extremely important to my own just personal confidence. Anyway, running back. Yes, go. Start, Jared. Go.
Yeah, I think I'm outside the top 100 at quarterback, so don't listen to my quarterback picks today.
That's true. Everybody fade your quarterback picks. Go ahead.
At running back, I'm paying up for Derrick Henry, $7,300 on DraftKings. And I rarely play Henry on DraftKings. I'm not sure I've ever played Derrick Henry in cash on DraftKings, because he just doesn't catch enough passes, and, you know, it's a full PPR site. But, you know, to me, $7,300 for Henry feels cheap. It's the cheapest he's been on the main slate this season. I'm not sure how it compares to last year, but it's at least the spot you want to play Henry in. The Titans are 3-point home favorites against Houston. 28-point implied total for Tennessee this week. That's one of the highest on the week. And this Texans run defense is bad. They're 26th in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. They're 29th in our adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs, and teams run on Houston. Their pass is actually okay, but teams run against them. The Texans have faced the second most running back carries this season. They've allowed the most rushing yards to running backs. They've allowed the fourth most rushing touchdowns. So, you know, there's some risk with Henry, I guess, if Tennessee falls behind big in this game. I don't expect that to happen. I think he's going to get his usual 20-plus carries in a good matchup.
Yeah, he's certainly, you know, well, let me ask you first, Tags, and then I'll go to Fendel a little bit. Is he your play on DraftKings?
I'm debating between him and Aaron Jones. I think that they're both good plays. Aaron Jones requires a little bit of forecasting and saying, like, what is Tampa Bay's run defense going to look like without Vita Vea? I think people are going to underestimate that, because Tampa Bay has been legit, like a team that shuts down the run, but losing a 350-pound man that is one of the best interior linemen in the game is going to hurt them a lot. Both the pass rush and against the run, Aaron Jones is heavily involved in the passing game. The opportunity, even though he's been sharing it a little bit, he's still ranked, I think, sixth among running backs in weighted opportunity. So he's fine. Derrick Henry, he's someone that I'm always hesitant. You know, I think Jaron hit it right in the head, said you never really want to play him in cash because he's not targeted a whole lot in the passing game. He has seen 2 or 3 targets in every game this year, so it's something. It's better than nothing, but you're right. So it's not only have they faced the most carries, Houston, but it's the play percentage. The run play percentage is 48.8%. That's the second most in the NFL, so teams are naturally just going to the run against them. There's massive holes, and it's not like they've played the best of the best running backs. James Conner was running through Texas-sized holes. Clyde Edwards-Hilaire had a really good game against them. Edwards-Hilaire hasn't been, like, crazy out out of this world good. The Titans run the ball 50% of the time. That ranks fifth in the NFL. They're still going to be without Corey Davis. It's just this game plan has to revolve around Derrick Henry, who wasn't heavily used in the Tuesday night game. So it's not like I don't think that he's really beaten up or anything like that. So Derrick Henry is a really good one. I'm struggling between him and Aaron Jones, though.
Yeah, it's interesting with Henry. I agree. I mean, the fact that it was a Tuesday game going into Sunday game may, on the surface, sort of worry you a little bit. But again, they didn't use him particularly heavily in this game as compared to what they had been doing in the past. He scored 4 touchdowns in the last 2 games. He's averaging 25 carries per game. You know what the Texans do. It's interesting with the pricing here because I know you guys play mostly on DraftKings. So he's 7,300, as you mentioned, on DraftKings, putting aside McCaffrey and Cook, who are both, we assume Cook, but both going to be out this game. He's $300 cheaper than Jones. And then he's, just slightly more expensive than Madison and even Connor and Mike Davis. It's a whole different ballgame on FanDuel, where he's 9,000 on FanDuel. And you go down and, he would be the play if I had it, because the difference between him and Aaron Jones, it's $500. It's not insignificant, but I do have more faith in Henry. But when you look on FanDuel, I mean, we're talking about these other guys, $1,500 cheaper. And Madison is $2,000 cheaper. Like, there's just... I'm not going to be paying up for Derrick Henry, essentially, in this game. If I were to go pay up, it would be Henry. He'd be the pricier cash game play. Jared, you don't have any concerns at all about the fact that it's a Tuesday game going into a Sunday game, right?
No, I mean, Derrick Henry's like a 26-year-old kid. He'll have, 5 days off. And like you mentioned, it seemed like they might have limited him in that game against Buffalo for that very reason. He set a season low in snap rate. We saw Jeremy McNichols and Darrington Evans take a bit more than they usually do. So I think Tennessee might have had that in mind. I think Henry will be, a full go on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm also not concerned. I just want to make sure you weren't. All right, so it looks like we're all in the same ballpark there. Let's go to, on the tags, did you have anything else?
Nope.
Good. Let's go to wide receiver here. Jared, you're paying up here. Who is your favorite pricier cash game play?
It's Allen Robinson for me, $7,000. And we've seen throughout his career that he's basically quarterback proof, and he's been just fine with Nick Foles the past 2 weeks. 26 targets for A-Rob over the last 2 games, a 31% target share. He's turned that into 26.1 and then 19 DraftKings points. And he gets this Panthers defense on Sunday that's really struggled against like true alpha number one wide receivers. Mike Evans went for 104 yards and a score against them on 7 catches. Keenan Allen had 13 catches for 132 yards and a score. DeAndre Hopkins caught 7 balls for 41 yards. That was a game that Hopkins was clearly limited by that ankle injury. And then last week we saw Calvin Ridley go for 8 catches and 136 yards. So they've struggled against, these stud wide receivers. I think Robinson's in for another big game this weekend.
How do you feel about Robinson this week, Tex?
I'm not opposed to Robinson. The volume is definitely there, but they're making you pay for him. Like, you're going up to 7K to get him. I just would prefer better quarterback play if I'm going to pay up that much. I've been on Robinson because he's been in the 6K range an awful lot, but they've bumped him up this week. And Carolina's actually been pretty good. I mean, I you are correct in terms of the alphas. Those 3 wide receivers that did do well against them all saw 10-plus targets, which is a mark that Robinson has hit, I think, in 4 of 5 games this year. So I'm definitely not opposed to it. You follow the targets of wide receiver. This is like a conversation I wanted to have with you guys, because like, this is one of the toughest positions because there's so much value at running back this week. People are going to be spending up somewhere, and it's the top end of the wide receivers that you have to think about. Like Devontae Adams coming against Tampa Bay. Carlton Davis has been doing some shadowing for them. He's been good. Like, he's been a guy that's been ascending in his career. I think this is his 3rd year in the league. He's been getting better. He missed practice yesterday, so I don't know if he's questionable for this game or if he's not 100%. Devontae Adams is practicing in full. He's playing. Love him at 8K with no Alan Lazard there. Like, he's getting targeted 10 to 15 times. That's happening. That game could be a shootout between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, 2 of the GOATs going at it. Calvin Ridley, if Julio Jones sits, how do you not consider him at 7,800? And Adam Thielen, obviously 7,300 in that same game against Atlanta. But there's also a caveat to this. We've all heard this morning that Atlanta, someone tested positive for COVID. There's rumors of 4 tests, but it hasn't been, as the time we're recording this, it hasn't been like confirmed that there's 4 positive tests. If that game doesn't happen, I don't want to spend too much time there, but if we're going to spend up for one of these big 3 wide receivers, which one would you guys lean towards?
So for me, if they were in a vacuum, like, I'd probably go with Ridley, at least on FanDuel. I don't expect Julio Jones to play in this game. I know he missed practice yesterday. We're recording this on Thursday morning, so we don't know exactly how it's going to be. The Green Bay game, I don't know whether or not he was you know, battling the ankle injury or whatever that game was. But other than that, he's basically a lock for 100 yards and a score. So I'd probably go with him. But I'm not probably not going to have him in my lineups because the difference in price between him, it's $500 difference on DraftKings, I believe, between Ridley and Thielen, right? Mm-hmm. It's $1,200 difference on FanDuel. And I will take that discount with Thielen going up against Falcons. Now, you mentioned I didn't lead with that tags. It's a DFS show, so it's not like a big newsy show necessarily. Of course, you want to monitor that game. As of right now, that game is going on as scheduled. They're still kind of digging through, but Schefter tweeted out shortly before we went, that game is going on as scheduled. So I am looking at that game as it's something that is going to go on. But for me, I would take that big of a discount given that Thielen has seen double-digit targets in back-to-back weeks and the Falcons are 30th against the pass. I would personally, so in terms of the pricier gameplay, I would personally pay down a little bit to take Thielen. What about you, Jared? So you're, I mean, those three guys are obviously in your range right there in DraftKings. It's Ridley at 7,800, Thielen at 7,300, Robinson at 7,000. You prefer Robinson with the
and
discount.
And Devontae Adams, right? Too, at 8K.
Like, at 8K, right. Devontae Adams as well as 8K.
Yeah, so first of all, I hope that Vikings game happens because I had, and I guess still have, a bunch of Vikings on my radar on DraftKings. So we can talk about a few other guys from that team later here. But you know, among these other guys, yeah, I do prefer A-Rob just for the savings. You know, Devontae Adams in cash games, I'm just trying to limit risk, and I don't want to pay $8,000 for a guy coming off a hamstring injury. Like, I know he was a full go on Wednesday. He'll probably be fine. I'm definitely going to get him in tournament lineups because, you know, I think, like Mike alluded to, he could easily see 15 targets and, you know, have another game like he did in week one. But in cash games, I'm not going to pay up for a guy coming off a hamstring. So, you know, for me, if I had to rank these guys, it'd be Robinson 1, Thielen 2, I'd probably go Ridley 3, and Adams 4th.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's fine. I think it's, you know, they're all decent calls. For me, I will take the discount, and which is why I'm probably not going to be paying up for Adams or Ridley necessarily on FanDuel, and I'll take the discount a little bit with Thielen. Before we keep going, let's talk about Pristine Auction. You guys know that I buy a ton of things from Pristine Auction. It's the only place I go when I'm looking for sports memorabilia. There are 17 reasons why, but I do not have time, so I'm just going to give you three. First, they offer only authentic items from the most trusted sources. Second, they have thousands of auctions every single day. And third, you can find incredible prices. A Calvin Ridley signed Falcons jersey, $56. And sometimes when your favorite team signs a new player, you get their signed jersey and then he's a bust. And then they cut him, like me, with Le'Veon Bell and his signed Jets jersey I have in my office. But now it's like a memento, and I'm not even mad because it cost me like $35, and it lets me give my kids a good lesson on what it's like to be a Jets fan. Just go to pristineauction.com, easy, free to bid and browse. Check it out, PristineAuction.com. And if you want $5 in free credits, just use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Let's go to quarterback here. Who's your favorite pricier play here, Jared?
At least as far as, you know, it's Thursday here, but I'm not planning on paying up for quarterback in cash this week. But if I was, it would be Deshaun Watson for me at $7,000. I mean, you know, he's honestly played well all season, despite some tough matchups. He's sitting on a career high 8.9 yards per attempt. You know, we finally saw kind of the breakout game happen last week. And I just really like this Texans-Titans game. It's two faster-paced offenses. It has the 53-point over-under. Titans are kind of a middle-of-the-road pass defense, so nothing to worry about there. And Watson's had lots of success against Tennessee so far in his career. He has two-plus passing touchdowns in all four games against Tennessee. He's averaged 43 rushing yards and half a touchdown per game on the ground in those matchups. So, you know, lots to lean on there. I think he's a safe bet, and you know, he has the upside that he kind of reminded us of last week.
Yeah, how about you, Tags? I mean, it's obviously we've got a weird slate here where you've got no Patrick Mahomes, you've got no Josh Allen, you've got no Kyler Murray. So is Watson your guy as well?
Yeah, I don't, it's so weird. I think across all positions, I don't know if there's any chalk plays. I can't speak of anybody that says, right, oh, people are going to have this guy 100%. You know, I'm not paying up a quarterback, and it sounds like you guys aren't either, but Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, one of those guys. Watson makes a whole lot of sense considering the things that Jared talked about, considering he played a lot better. This is one of the better matchups. Tennessee's still probably without Jeffrey Simmons, as far as I know. I don't know if he's been activated or not, but he missed last week, one of their best interior linemen. Lamar Jackson, I keep waiting for that bounce back, and it's just like, is it going to happen? I know he came out today and he said, I'm okay with running less in this offense. That just screams I'm going to run for 100 yards this weekend. So at 7,700, he's discounted enough to where if you want to pay up, I'm okay going to 7,700 for Lamar Jackson. Philadelphia, outside of Darius Slay, that secondary has really struggled. So it's just I worry about the competitiveness at Philadelphia. So I guess Watson makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, Watson is my guy as well on FanDuel, 8,200. Again, he's got 5 touchdowns in his past 2 games. Titans are on the short week, as you mentioned, and the passing defense has struggled and is dealing with injuries. So let's go now to tight end. Who's your favorite pricier cash game play, Jared?
I mean, if we're paying up a tight end, it's got to be Mark Andrews, right? And there's no George Kittle, Travis Kelce, or Darren Waller on this slate. I'm not going to pay, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 less for someone like TJ Hockenson, who I do like. But if I'm going to pay up in cash, I'm just going to get up to Mark Andrews. You know, we know about his upside and really can't ask for much better of a matchup this week. Football Outsiders has the Eagles 30th in tight end coverage. They're 29th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight ends. We've seen them give up the 3 touchdown game to Tyler Higbee, that massive game to George Kittle on Sunday night a few weeks ago. So Andrews, you know, could definitely have a week winning week on Sunday.
How about you, Tags?
Yeah, he makes a whole lot of sense considering the matchup and how Philadelphia struggled. It does seem like Avante Maddox might come back, so Mills might go back to safety, which would help things, but it doesn't make it great. So I definitely I agree with you on Andrews. Jonnu Smith shouldn't go overlooked, though, either. He's 5,200 less, or he's 5,200, so he's $1,300 less than Mark Andrews. And if you compare, it's crazy. Yates pointed this out to me. If you put Andrews and Jonnu Smith next to each other, they legitimately have the same exact stats. I think Mark Andrews has 1 more yard and 2 more targets, and it's the same. And Jonnu Smith has played actually 1 less game. This seems to always happen on those Derrick Henry weeks, right? Where everybody, like, if you, like, Derrick Henry's going to smash, that's fine. But if this game is really going to net the 55 points or whatever the total is on it right now, there's going to be other scoring. A.J. Brown is going to be shadowed by Bradley Roby, which is fine. A.J. Brown's going to be fine. But Jonnu Smith has just been a matchup nightmare for opponents. He looks like a wide receiver that's just like oversized. So at 5,200, like if you can't get up to 6,500 for Andrews, if you go down to 5,200, that's probably my higher priced option.
Yeah, that's where I came at as well. I mean, again, this is the give me the pricier cash game play, so Andrews would be the guy, but you know, especially on FanDuel, there's just no way I'm going to pay 7,600 for him when I can have Jonnu Smith at 5,800. There's just no way, given that, you know, given how involved Smith is, given that essentially they have been really the same players, getting 7 targets per game, who's getting a ton of red zone looks. And again, kudos to Yates, who basically takes a victory lap every week when Jonnu Smith does something good. He really does. You'd be happy, Jared, that you don't have to share a Slack channel with the kid, because he literally just is like, remember that Jonnu Smith call? And I'm like, yeah, we got it. Okay, so let's go here to cash game value plays here. Let's again start at running back, because I think that's where the meat is, as Tag said. So let's start with your cash game value plays. Let's try to do 2, I guess, each. So Jared, start us off with 1.
Yes, my first guy is David Montgomery at $5,800. And you know, he has just, he's basically playing like an every down role since Tariq Cohen tore his ACL. The last 2 games, Montgomery's played 83% of the Bears' offensive snaps. He's run a pass route on 73% of Nick Foles' dropbacks. He's handled 20 of 26 running back carries, and he's seen a 17% target share. That, you know, that's like RB1 level volume. So, you know, that's always what we care about most with running backs. And then you toss in this matchup against Carolina, 29th in Football Outsiders run defense DVOA. They're 26th in running back coverage, according to Football Outsiders. They're dead last in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs. They just lost Kawan Short, one of their better, if not their best, you know, run defending linemen. So the matchup just gets even better there. I know people kind of hate playing David Montgomery. He's not the most exciting player, but for this price, for the volume and the matchup, I think he's a strong cash play.
Oh, I 100% agree with that.
I've been looking for reasons not to play Montgomery, and I can't find him. It just makes too much sense. I mean, this team, the Panthers, have allowed 4 top 3 performances to running backs to this point. We're through 5 weeks, guys. 2 of those performances were to Leonard Fournette and Todd Gurley. Those guys combined for just 26 carries in those games. David Montgomery, the pass game usage is there, so he's game script proof now, which is really a benefit, because he was someone that you always worried about. Is he going to get 2 targets and 10 carries? Now, I can't say that that's the case. This game is expected to be a neutral game script, even though the Bears are throwing much more than they probably should. David Montgomery is involved in the passing game, and Kawan Short, The defensive tackle for the Panthers has been ruled out for this game already. Brian Burns is in the concussion protocol, so the defense is already less than full strength. I legitimately tried to find reasons not to play David Montgomery because I hate saying it, but I don't know how you pass him up at 5,800.
Yeah, I don't know why. You guys are almost like embarrassed about it. You're like, yes, I don't know.
Yes.
David Montgomery. No, of course. It's a great spot for him. And since Tariq Cohen left, he's so much more heavily involved in the passing game, getting more targets. So he's a great play. How about you, Tags? Go to a guy who is not named David Montgomery and perhaps who you're not so embarrassed to be recommending.
Well, this one comes down to there's a factor that goes into it, and we have to find out if he's going to play or not. If Melvin Gordon is out, Philip Lindsay would become the chalk of the slate. 4,300 for Philip Lindsay. There's been 105 running back touches against New England. That's 26.3 per game. So even if he were to concede 30% of the touches to someone like Royce Freeman, not worried about it. Philip Lindsay was arguably the better running back. I mean, Melvin Gordon is better than people think. I don't think he sucks like some people do. I think he's actually pretty good, but I also think Philip Lindsay is one of the better running backs that people just don't view that way for whatever reason. But he's fantastic at 4,300 in a game that I do expect Denver to keep New England in check, because what Denver does well as they stop the run under Vic Fangio. So, that game should remain somewhat contested. New England's defense is without Stephon Gilmore. It seems like Cam Newton should be back, which is going to boost New England, obviously. But I still see that as a relatively close game. I like Philip Lindsay a lot at 4,300. Again, a guy that's going to see 15-plus opportunities at 4,300. You just don't see that very often.
And that's only if Melvin Gordon is out, right?
Correct, yes.
Which we are expecting at this point. I mean, we haven't heard anything, but of course there's the whole three-game suspension that sort of has been rumored out there, which is what I believe the CBA kind of says the NFL is allowed to do. But I would be surprised. Again, he was sent home after he got to the facility. So, I think that's certainly a good call, and the price is it's difficult to pass up, particularly if Gordon is out. All right, Jared, how about another running back here that you like as a cash game value play?
Yeah, I guess he's kind of gross, like David Montgomery, but Miles Gaskin.
Yes.
Stop telling everybody he's gross. Miles Gaskin is excellent. Montgomery is excellent. They're both great cash value game plays here. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jared.
Yes, exactly. Value play for the volume that this guy's been getting. He's $5,400. Over the past 3 weeks, Gaskin ranks 6th among all running backs in carries. He's 12th among running backs in targets. He's 15th in PPR points. And last week, we saw Jordan Howard get healthy scratched, and that led to Gaskin taking over the goal line role. He got all 4 running back carries and both running back targets inside the 10-yard line last week. So, he has some touchdown upside now, which he didn't have before when Miami was using Howard at the goal line. Gaskin gets the Jets, who are actually pretty decent against the run, but they're still 28th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to running backs because they faced the 8th most running back carries, because teams are just playing with a lead against the Jets and pounding the ball on the ground against them. New York's also allowed the 2nd most rushing touchdown. So, pretty solid matchup for Gaskin. But again, it's mostly a volume play for his price tag.
Yeah, you should not be sort of embarrassed about that recommendation. No, that's a great play. It is, of course, a great play probably for the next hour until Le'Veon Bell signs with the Dolphins, inevitably. By the way, whoever's listening, when you're listening to this podcast, Bell has probably signed somewhere. The last we heard is it's narrowed down to the next 3 teams that the Jets are playing, which is not surprising. And I would not be surprised to see Bell go to the Dolphins and to try to have an immediate revenge game. And if so, that might put a little damper on Miles Gaskin. But I agree, for right now, Gaskin and Montgomery were the 2 guys, both on FanDuel as well. Montgomery at 5,900. Gaskin at 5,700. That stood out to me. How about you, Tags? Do you have another cash game value player? Was Gaskin your guy?
I had 3 of them, and Jared took 2 of them. So that's why I had Lindsay there as a backup. But Gaskin and Montgomery are the 2 I had. I mean, Montgomery's for sure. Gaskin is like there in case Lindsay is not able to go, in case Melvin Gordon plays, then you go to Gaskin. But both are good plays.
Another guy who I like who's a little bit higher, again, with the discounts that you're getting on both those guys, with their prices, I'd prefer them. But James Robinson isn't a bad play for me this week, 6,500 on FanDuel. The 2nd highest total on the slate, but Robinson is involved in the passing game. The Lions are worse in the league against the run, and they're a run-funnel defense, so I do think that Robinson is a guy who you can play confidently in cash, and I don't think his price is prohibitive.
Yeah, that's on FanDuel, 65. Yeah, he's cheap over there. He's expensive on DraftKings, because I like him this week too, but he's expensive.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, man. Let's talk about some FanDuel while you guys are talking about some DraftKings.
Are you going to see your scores during the game?
We're not going to talk about that right now, Tags. That's not what we're doing. All right, guys, it's week six, so we are rapidly approaching the point where some fantasy managers are just going to give up on their teams. I hope that's not you. We are here to help. Don't worry. But if that is you, or better yet, if you just want to add a little fun to your fantasy football experience, then you need to come and play on FanDuel because you can create a new team each week. And look, if you've never played on FanDuel before, be not afraid. First, the app is super easy to use and intuitive. You're going to know exactly what to do and how to do it the second you get on it. Second, they have contests for your skill level. If you're a beginner, you can enter contests with only other beginners, and you can compete for cash payouts. And get this, maybe you're nervous about playing for money right now. Well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. Sign up for an account right now. FanDuel is going to give you a free entry to a contest all season long where you can win real cash prizes. And if you do make a deposit, FanDuel is offering up to a $500 bonus instantly when you make your first deposit with their 20% deposit match. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros or download the FanDuel Fantasy app to play now. That's FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. FanDuel, more ways to win. Give a couple, or you can start with one, a cash game value playing a wide receiver, Jared.
Yeah, I'm going to start with A.J. Brown, who I think is just way underpriced at $5,600. We see this a lot on DraftKings, I think on FanDuel too, where these guys play on, you know, Monday night, or in this case, Tuesday night. I think the prices just come out before that game. Yeah. So Brown's price didn't adjust for the fact that, you know, he's obviously back to full health after having that big game against the Bills. You know, he played 71% of the snaps in that game, saw a 32% target share. We'll see. Adam Humphries is back. We'll see about Corey Davis. So maybe Brown doesn't, you know, eclipse 30% of the targets again, but he should be the clear focal point of this passing game. Again, it's a game we like, Houston and Tennessee. Should be plenty of points here. Not a scary matchup for A.J. Brown. He actually had two big games against Houston last year. He had 8 catches for 114 yards and a score in the first, 4 catches for 124 yards and a score in the second. So again, you know, I just think Brown, even as soon as next week, he's going to be priced in like the mid 6,000. So I think you want to take advantage of the discount this week.
I loved hearing Brown's comments after the game, which was basically like, yeah, I wasn't really healthy. I needed to play through it. Like, they didn't want me to play. I was like, no, I got to play. I got to get in here. And then he's so good, man. I love AJ Brown as a player. But Tags, you're not that high on Brown, right, this week because of the matchup?
I like Brown. I mean, I at 5,600, he's a value. Like, if he was up towards like 6,800, no, I would not be considering him because he's a guy he's had too much volatility in his target share. The team doesn't throw the ball a whole lot. Like, Ryan Tannehill, like, this is crazy. I actually went back and I added up all the numbers. So if you go back to when he took over in week 7 of last year, Ryan Tannehill is the number 5 fantasy quarterback. He has thrown the ball 40 times one time, and that was week 1 of this year. But knowing that, again, Corey Davis out of the lineup, it seems like there should be a target share there for him. Bradley Roby is not someone that I'm running from. He's not a shutdown corner. He has limited some wide receivers, but I do like A.J. Brown at 5,600. He was definitely on my list.
All right, so give another guy then on your list, Tex. Who do you got?
I'm torn here between mentioning Kenny Galladay or Tyler Boyd. I kind of like them both. Galladay at 6,200, a guy he's seen a high target share since he came back, 15 targets. Stafford only threw the ball, I think, 62 times in those two games. So the target share is there. Jacksonville's been a funnel defense. I don't know if CJ Henderson's going to return this week or not, but he's still a rookie. He's not been like a shutdown guy or anything like that. Tyler Boyd's really interesting to me, though, because he's been the number one for Joe Burrow in this offense. AJ Green is like the forgotten man now. And if you're taking away those targets, it's like, all right, well, they're going to go somewhere. T. Higgins' matchup on the perimeter is not great. I mean, Rakusin is not phenomenal. The pass rush has kind of hid some of the deficiencies in the Colts secondary. But if you look, even going back to last year, the Colts have struggled over the middle of the field in the slot. Keelan Cole caught 5 catches for 47 yards and a touchdown this year. Braxton Berrios had 64 yards and a touchdown. Jarvis Landry had 88 yards. And then even going back to last year, you'd see Keenan Allen posted 8 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. Dede Westbrook, 72 yards and a touchdown. Chris Godwin, 91 yards. So it's just, that's the area of the field that you continually attack against this Matt Eberflus offense or defense. And that basically, they're not going to be able to run the ball extremely well against Indianapolis. That's just been an MO against that defense. So Tyler Boyd should be the guy moving the sticks. And at 5,800, they're giving you a discount after he struggled against the Ravens, which everybody struggles against the Ravens, especially Marlon Humphrey in the slot.
Jared, how do you feel about Tyler Boyd as a cash game value play?
Yeah, so the three wide receivers in my cash game lineup as of now are AJ Brown, Tyler Boyd, and Kenny Galladay. So Mike and I are on the same page here. Yeah, I like Tyler Boyd. Mike mentioned Rocky Sin, but Higgins is going to see a lot of Xavier Rhodes on the outside too. And Rhodes actually has been awesome this season after struggling mightily, the previous couple years in Minnesota. So I definitely think it's a spot where we're going to see targets funnel to Tyler Boyd. So I like him. And then, yeah, Kenny Galladay, you know, Jacksonville's just been like the get right matchup. We saw Joe Mixon have a massive game against them. We saw the Texans offense sort of break out last week against Jacksonville. So I just think it's a breakout spot for Detroit's passing game. So I want to get a piece of it. And I think Galladay at $6,200 is a bit underpriced.
Yeah, Galladay is definitely a good price on DraftKings, a little less attractive slightly on FanDuel. How about you, Tags? You got a second value play at wide receiver?
I mean, it's tough to look past Terry McLaurin at $5,700 with the target share that he's getting. It's either him or AJ Brown, though. That's like where you're going. You're going between one of those two guys. Neither of them, like, McLaurin's going to match up with James Bradbury the majority of the time. And Bradbury has been solid for the most part. He's limited some big receivers, but again, $5,700 is not bad. And then lastly, I'll mention as a value, Jarvis Landry at $4,900 against Pittsburgh. Landry is not sexy. He's not a guy that you're going to play in tournaments or anything like that, but he is a guy at $4,900. The Steelers have been a team that you could throw the ball on this year. They're still the stonewall they were last year against the run, so I don't expect Kareem Hunt to have a massive game here. And Mike Hilton is the weakest link in that secondary, so that's where Landry's going to match up most of the time. I just think that he presents a decent floor for just $4,900.
So I mentioned that the Detroit defense is more of a run funnel defense, but if DJ Chark is out, either of you guys thinking about either of the other Jacksonville wide receivers in cash, at least LaVisca Chenault?
Chenault missed practice yesterday with a hamstring.
He did. Yeah, he did. I'm right now. Did he leave the game at all at the end?
I don't think so. Was he,
yeah. So for right now, I'm viewing that as precautionary. When somebody misses practice on a Wednesday with anything, I view it as precautionary. If he misses again on Thursday, then I'll be a little worried. But all right, let's say Chenault, both Chenault and Chark are out. Are you looking then at Keelan Cole? He's $4,900 as well on DraftKings.
Maybe. I mean, I wish he was cheaper, I guess. You know, I was just looking him up. I thought he'd be like 4K, and then I think he would have been more interesting. $4,900. He's in play, but he probably won't be. He won't make my top three cash game wide receivers.
And nobody wants best receiver ever, Jameson Crowder, then. Right. Because when I'm looking at DraftKings, this is just an ongoing battle, the Tags and I have. Jared, sorry. When I'm looking at sort of those guys priced like right around the same range, I mean, Devontae Parker at $6,300, Kenny Galladay at $6,200, Jameson Crowder at $6,100. It's a little different on FanDuel because Crowder is significantly cheaper than a guy like Galladay. But Galladay is the guy, certainly. I know, Jared, that you said you like Tags. If you had to pick from those three, Parker, Galladay, and Crowder, is Galladay also your guy?
Yeah, he would be my guy. Yep.
All right.
Parker's close. I like Parker, but it's close.
Yeah, right. That's the thing. Those guys are all sort of the same price. And I think that a lot of people, if they are in that price, those are the guys they're going to be looking at. So they're all really close. All right, let's get to quarterback here. Who is your favorite cash value game play, Jared?
Yeah, I need your guys' help here because I'm looking at two guys for cash and they're the same exact price. So that's not a tiebreaker.
I know who they are already. Can I?
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. And Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah. The two Ryans here. I think they're both excellent plays. But one's going to outscore the other, and that could be the difference in cashing or not in your cash game. So it's a decision I'm still trying to make. The matchup's actually a bit better for Ryan Fitzpatrick. The Jets are 31st in Football Outsiders pass defense DVOA. They're 18th in adjusted fantasy points allowed. Houston, like I mentioned before, with Derrick Henry, they're decent against the pass. Football Outsiders has them 11th in pass defense. They're 13th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. I guess the reason I think Tannehill might be the play here is I'm just worried about game flow for Fitzpatrick. If Miami gets out to a lead and they just sort of, milk clock, pound Miles Gaskin, whereas in Houston, Tennessee, I think it's much more likely to be a shootout. I think it's much more likely that Tannehill, keeps his foot on the gas all game long. There's also that elevated pace in the Texans-Titans game. So, like I said, I think they're both good options. I'm still trying to decide between them. Do you guys have a favorite among those two?
Get Tex.
In cash games, I'm probably going to lean Tannehill. We did our start sit show yesterday, and all I did was talk about Dolphins. So Ryan Fitzpatrick is part of that. I do like him. I just feel like Tannehill, when I sat down and I started thinking about it, the Jets are going to be so non-competitive. Like, they've scored 13 points per game, like, as a team. Not like the running backs, like, as a team. It's not good. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's a possibility that the Dolphins just kind of grind that game out and they just run the ball a lot. That's my concern with Fitz. There's also a possibility. Let's say that they're blowing out the Jets in the third quarter, that they put in Tua just to get some NFL experience. Because he has not had any preseason experience, nothing. I think that's a real possibility. I do like Fitzpatrick, but I think there's a little bit more risk with him. Whereas Tannehill, that game is going to be competitive regardless. At 5,900, he's a guy, again, I went back to week 7 of last year. He started 14 games since that point. There's been just 2 games in that entire time where he has scored fewer than 17.9 fantasy points. Ryan Tannehill is probably the safest player.
I'd probably go Fitz. I don't have a strong
Dan's a
preference.
Jets fan, so that's just insight on that.
It is true. It is true. And yeah. I was mentioning the Betting Pros NFL podcast that we're going to record later. Last week, legitimately, Matt refuses because we share a team in the DraftKings Pick'em Championship for $1 million. And so we have to agree on the picks. And every week, I just want to pick against the Jets because there is no spread big enough. It was like the Cardinals were laying 7.5. And I made the deal that as long as we didn't pick it last week, anytime I want to pick against the Jets, we get to pick against the Jets because that's what you should be doing in all aspects of your fantasy or gambling decisions. And so I'm fine with Fitzpatrick. And I don't have a strong preference between the two, between Fitzpatrick and Tannehill. But I'm not all that worried about the game script. I mean, they destroyed the 49ers last week and Fitzpatrick still threw 3 touchdown passes. And they could have, you know, I don't really view it too much as a risk. The one thing that does, this is really more of a narrative thing, so it's not really quantitative, is that I worry a little bit about how a team reacts when there's like a big change. And I know it's not a coaching change here, but getting rid of Bell and sort of something like that. I always feel like it's a variable. Maybe they play a little more inspired. Probably not. And nor does it really matter because the secondary is abysmal. So for me, even though they're going to blow them out, what's the spread? The latest spread here, Tex?
9.5.
Is it up to 9.5 now? All right. It's like 4 points too low, but go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I'll say too that, I mean, Miami's defense is pretty bad. I mean, I guess despite what Jimmy Garoppolo would tell you after his performance in the first half last week, I mean, Miami's a pretty bad defense. So I don't know, maybe the Jets can score like 17 or 20 points in this game and, you know, keep it close enough where Fitz keeps throwing.
Also, don't forget revenge game, one of the 17 that Fitz
the
has
17
on his radar to go. Yeah, no, anyway, either one of those guys is fine. But I feel completely comfortable with Fitz in cash games. Another guy who I'm looking at, he's priced, I think he's more expensive than either of the guys on DraftKings, but he's slightly less expensive, same as Tannehill, at least on FanDuel, is Matthew Stafford. You know, I think coming off the bye, the Jaguars ranked last against the pass, 8.7 yards per attempt, plenty of touchdowns. It's got the second highest team total. They're probably still down a couple of guys on defense, Miles Jack, Josh Allen. Stafford's played a little better since Kenny Galladay returned. So if I'm struggling for cash, I do like Fitz better, but, you know, a little bit. But, you know, he's a little cheaper, not much, but Stafford's a little cheaper on FanDuel. So that might be someplace where I would be looking. I want to get off that. What about Kirk Cousins? Anybody looking at Kirk Cousins? Because he was a guy who I was thinking about, at least in cash, where he's, you know, a few hundred dollars cheaper. Again, assuming that game gets played, he's a few hundred dollars cheaper than these other guys we're talking about. Anybody think about him in cash? Or
I would think about it. And Jared, I'm curious in your thoughts on this. So the reason that cash games are a little bit different with quarterbacks nowadays is because to get into the top 10 quarterbacks, which is basically you need to find a quarterback in there to cash most of the time, you have to score 20 fantasy points. And it's like you need some sort of ceiling out of your quarterback. I don't think the days are. I remember when we used to play quarterbacks that were like minimum. You'd find some guys for like 4,500. You'd be like, oh, I'm going to play them and I'm going to just stack running back, wide receiver, whatever. Those days are seemingly gone because quarterbacks are scoring so much that it's basically a position that you need to get points out of. So Cousins, I do think, offers a higher ceiling than Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill this week, but he doesn't have the floor. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, it's a great point you make about the quarterbacks. I've actually, for most of the season, been paying up at quarterback, which is completely different than what I've been doing, you know, in previous years. But, you know, like last week I paid up for Patrick Mahomes. I played Russell Wilson a few times just because, like you said, Mike, you know, if these guys score 30 points, you know, that is worth paying up for versus, you know, these guys that are, you know, going to get you 18, even if they're, you know, a couple thousand dollars cheaper. So yeah, for me, Cousins is a tournament play only. I just always worry we're going to get like a, you know, 19 attempt game out of Kirk Cousins. You know, if the Falcons offense doesn't show up again, they're just going to pound the ball on the ground. Plus Cousins doesn't give us the rushing upside that, you know, guys like Tannehill and Fitzpatrick do. So he is on my list of considerations for tournaments, but not for cash for me.
Okay, before we move on, you guys all know Manscaped and their Lawnmower 3.0. That's why you're keeping things so tidy below the belt. But are you keeping things tidy where people are looking at you the most? No, that's not below the belt, you dirty, dirty human. Your face. Do you know what a turnoff it is when you have out-of-control nose or ear hair? Do you even think about that? I guarantee you that your partner does. And even if you are thinking about it, what are you doing about it? Are you pulling it out with your fingers? Are you risking using scissors? When Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel, did he use a spray paint can? No, both because they were not invented yet, but also because he wanted it to be perfect. And that's what you should want too, which is why you should be using the Weed Whacker, Manscaped's just released nose and ear hair trimmer. It uses their proprietary skin-safe technology that helps you avoid snags or tugs. It's got a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. It is waterproof, and it has a rechargeable lithium-ion battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes of use. You'll also get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep your trimming clean and enjoyable. Upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker, and right now, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates over at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com with the code Yates. All right, let's go to tight end then here. Who's a cash game value play at tight end, Jared?
Yeah, Cousins tight end, Irv Smith, yep. At bare minimum, $2,500. I really want to play Irv Smith, so I hope that Vikings-Falcons game happens. I mean, there's a reason Smith is minimum priced. He had just 2 catches on 6 targets over his first 4 games, and you know his usage, his snaps, and his routes were not good. But last week, 4 catches for 64 yards on 5 targets, ran a pass route on 73% of Kirk Cousins' dropbacks. If that type of usage continues, I mean, we could be talking about this guy as like a top 12 tight end the rest of the way. I think he's super talented. I was surprised that Minnesota hadn't been using him more the first month of the season. So, you know, there's some risk here. If he goes back to the usage we saw over the first 4 games, you know, he could definitely give you a goose egg. But again, at the price, I don't even think a goose egg is going to kill you. I mean, you know, we saw people play Adam Trautman a couple weeks ago, and he scored 0 points, and people won tournaments with Adam Trautman in at tight end with a 0, just because, you know, tight end is so crappy. You know, if you win at the other positions, a 0 at tight end is fine. So Irv Smith, definitely someone I want to play just to, you know, be able to jam in some higher price guys at the other spots.
How about you, Tags? Is that your guy in cash?
That was the only guy that I had listed in the cheap range.
Well, then if that game gets canceled, you guys are both screwed. So yep, let's hope it goes well. All right, let's go to GPP gambles here at each position. Again, let's start at running back. Who's your favorite tournament play here, Jared?
Yeah, so here's where I have James Robinson. And I agree with what Mike said. He's overpriced for cash on DraftKings at $6,800. But I do think he has the upside to pay that off if this game, you know, goes, I guess, against what Vegas is thinking. If the Jags are playing with the lead here, you know, Robinson's obviously been awesome so far this season. He's 4th among main slate running backs in DraftKings points per game. And this Lions run defense is really bad. They're allowing 5.6 yards per carry to running backs on the season. They're 31st in DK points allowed to running backs. So again, if the Jags are playing with a lead and they can get Robinson, you know, say 18 to 20 carries in this game, I think, you know, he could definitely pay off for tournaments.
How about you, Tags? Who's your tournament play?
Yeah, I like James Robinson quite a bit. He's on my list. I had 4 running backs listed there. Just like, because I always list them out, and I'm just like, I want to have options. One like severe dart throw is DeAndre Swift at 4,500 in tournaments. He's not going to have any ownership, and rightfully so, because his opportunity has been somewhat limited. It's been mostly it's been in the pass game, though, and Jacksonville has really struggled in that area of the field. So it's a matchup that better suits him than maybe someone like Adrian Peterson. And given the bye, maybe they inject like a little bit more life into the rookie and say, we're going to involve you more in the offense. I'm just saying at 4,500, it's worth a risk. But another one I like in tournaments, a guy that could score multiple touchdowns, Jonathan Taylor. He hasn't looked particularly good, you know, over the first 4 weeks. He looked better last week, and this should only improve as he continues to go through the league. And it's clear the Colts just, they cannot trust Phillip Rivers anymore. They were hiding him for the first month of the season, and then it was exposed last week. So against the Bengals, it's a team that you can run the ball against. So Jonathan Taylor at 6,400 makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think that this is they've got to know now, right? They have to just basically be like, okay, we have Teller in tags. You and I have talked that we haven't loved the way he's looked most games, although I did think he looked better, but I completely agree with you. We were watching that game, like both of us as we were getting ready, and we were just like, oh goodness, they can't do this anymore. Okay, anybody else on the GPP list for you guys? I know we usually talk about one, but tags, you had four. Jared, I don't know if you have anybody else that you want to talk about, or we can move to wide receiver.
I don't. Just in general, in GPPs, I don't try to get too crazy at running back.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to play the best plays at running back, play the guys we know are going to get volume. And then I think, you know, at the other positions, and especially wide receiver and tight end, is where you can kind of go off the board.
Well, let's go there.
Real quick, can I mention one more guy? Because I want to just tell you, I want to hear how dumb I am for saying it.
Yes, then, of course.
Ronald Jones.
No.
No, not dumb at all.
Not dumb at all. Assuming Fournette and McCoy are still, or I guess at least Fournette. If Fournette is back this week, it'd worry me a bit.
Yeah, and my guess is, I think Fournette, did he return to practice yesterday?
Yeah, he was limited.
Yeah, who knows with him, because obviously he was active last week, but only in the emergency situation. But Jones was definitely a guy who I had on my list as well. I don't think it's a crazy play at all, but you are dumb otherwise. So we can do that. All right, let's go to wide receiver here, Jared. Who's your GPP gamble?
And so I have two guys here, and one of them we've sort of already talked about, Laviska Shenault. Again, we'll have to watch the injury report. He had the hamstring injury, didn't practice on Wednesday, but he had already been trending up. 6, 6, and 8 targets in his last three games. He has 9 carries this season. You love that little, you know, added value there on the ground. And then if DJ Chark is out of this game, and I kind of expect him to be after exiting last week's game and not practicing on Wednesday, that's just going to, you know, boost the target projection for Shenault.
How about you, Tex?
You mentioned him earlier. Keelan Cole, I like in tournaments at 4,900. Makes a lot of sense. I don't even know if Justin Coleman comes back for the Lions off IR. He's eligible to, but he's not good. So it's been a matchup that you just attack nonstop in the slot, and that's projected to be one of the higher scoring games. I do like Cole, especially knowing that Chark and Shenault are dinged up. Justin Jefferson, if that game takes place at 6K, I like him. And then, I mean, Diontae Johnson, is he? So we're projecting higher ownership than I thought on Diontae Johnson. I think we had him in between the 5 to 10% range. I didn't think he would be that high, considering what he's done the last couple weeks in terms of like leaving the game with injuries and whatever, and Chase Claypool having higher ownership and yada yada. I mean, Diontae Johnson at 4,900, if he plays, doesn't that make sense?
Jared?
I'd say so at that price tag. I mean, I wouldn't trust him in cash with the, you know, injury issues he's had. But yeah, I think in tournaments, I'm curious to see what happens with Claypool. I mean, he obviously benefited from Diontae Johnson leaving last week. Even last week, he was still third in routes behind Juju and James Washington. So I think his role is going to increase. But if Deontay's healthy, I still think he and Juju are the top two wide receivers on the team. So that's a great price tag on Deontay.
All right, let's go to quarterback now. GPP gamble. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, Matt Stafford for me. I just think the Jags are like the breakout spot for offenses. Football Outsiders has them dead last in pass defense, DVOA. They're dead last in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They've already given up. Ryan Tannehill scored 26.8 DraftKings points against them. Ryan Fitzpatrick scored 25.2. Deshaun Watson scored 29.9 last week. So I think this is, you know, Stafford's been disappointing so far from a fantasy standpoint. I think he gets going this week with a big game.
How about you, Tags?
I had Stafford in my list as well, and the other tournament option I had listed was Joe Burrow. That Colts team, while I do think that they're a good defense, I don't think they're as good as everybody thinks they are. You know, the team didn't get a whole... I mean, they traded for DeForest Buckner, cool. I like DeForest Buckner a lot, and I thought it was a good trade on their part. However, they didn't change much outside of that. They lost Malik Hooker, their starting safety. This team has gone against Baker Mayfield, Nick Foles, Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, and Gardner Minshew this year. I mean, it's not a, you know, they've been able to control the clock, and that's they're limiting opponents' plays, and it's led to like very little fantasy production against them. And they've done a good job at that. I'm not going to take that away from them, but the Bengals do run a lot of plays. Joe Burrow is not afraid to sling it. He's a guy that I posted on Twitter the other day. He has attempted, I think it's 25 deep balls now. He's completed one of them. He was one of the best deep ball passers in college. And I think a lot of it comes down to the pressure that he's faced on the offensive line. I think part of it was like his wide receivers not playing up to par. But I don't think this matchup is as bad as people think. So at 5,400, you're able to stack him with someone like Tyler Boyd relative and like basically build a massive lineup around those guys because they're both cheap.
All right, let's go to tight end here. Who's your GPP gamble? Let's go with Jared.
T. TJ Hockenson, for me, you know, you stack him up with Matt Stafford. I mean, and honestly, Hockenson's probably a bit overpriced at $5,300. I think he's $100 more expensive than Jonnu Smith. You know, that's going to keep the ownership down on him. His usage has been pretty nice so far this season. You know, just in the two games since Kenny Galladay returned, Hockenson saw 11 targets in those games and 18% target share. That's, you know, those are pretty solid numbers for a tight end. And again, I just like this matchup. The Jags, as they are against pretty much every position, have struggled against tight ends. Football Outsiders has them 31st in tight end coverage. They're 23rd in adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight ends. Jacksonville's allowed the third most yards to tight ends, the fifth most touchdowns. So, you know, if Stafford has a big game, I think there's a good chance Hockenson comes along with him.
How about you, Tex?
I think Zach Ertz makes sense in tournaments. Yates disagrees, I'm sure. The Ravens have only played against three tight ends who have seen more than six targets against them since the start of last year, but every one of those tight ends finished with at least 12.5 PPR points. With Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson expected back, I actually like Ertz more. So in a tournament, I do like Ertz.
I really like that call, actually, because Baltimore has been sneaky, not great against tight ends, as kind of you mentioned, right? And I do think that getting back some help at wide receiver is going to open things up for Ertz, because I think defenses won't be able to focus on him as much. And I agree. I don't know how owned he's going to be in these things. So very good call there, in my opinion. Let's go to DST here. Let's do one each. DST, we already know Tags almost always goes extremely cheap.
And I'm doing it again.
DST.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bengals.
How about you, Jared? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Always looking to go as cheap as possible. I like Minnesota at 2,300 if that game mm-hmm. gets played. If not, I know Dan will agree with this. I like Miami at $2,900 just
what?
against the
yeah,
Jets.
Yeah, no, that's obviously a great call. How about you, Tex?
The Bengals. That's the team I'm playing. $2,100. I mean, Phillip Rivers is not good. I mean,
yeah,
defense is so ugly in terms of like predictability. There's just no predictability to it. And if you want to go into tournaments, I think Washington makes a lot of sense against Daniel Jones, yep. who has like legitimately been terrible under pressure. And the Steelers, those are the two teams I have down for tournaments.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. But yeah, if you are saving money and you are going cheap, the Bengals on FanDuel as well, they're the second lowest priced team going up against Phillip Rivers. I'm happy to do that. I mean, not happy, but I will hold my nose and do it. All right, let's go to your stack of the week. Start us off, Jared.
Yeah, we've talked about all these guys. I like Matt Stafford to Kenny Galladay and TJ Hockenson.
I think that's a great one. How about you, Tex?
I had the stack of Stafford, Galladay, DeAndre Swift, and Keelan Cole. That was a four-player stack that I put down.
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. Yeah, so you really think this is the week for Swift here, Tex? You think this is his,
I think it's a possibility in terms of, like, when you're chasing a stack in tournaments, you can't chase the obvious ones because people are, you know, they're going to have those guys. But this one, I'm guessing Swift is going to have, like, 2% ownership. Maybe one.
Yep. All right, I think that's fair. How about your lock of the week, Jared?
Derrick Henry for me. A little scary, you know, with the lack of pass catching, but I just think it's a great spot and a great price for him.
How about you, Tags?
Yeah, I took some heat last week. Someone said that I missed, after my Kenyon Drake take, that I missed on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I want to be clear on that. I did choose Ezekiel Elliott, but I was like, I'll go with a different one because Joe had taken Zeke, so I feel bad about that. I don't want to screw this up again. I don't even want to say David Montgomery, but I'm going to. Because again, it's a good play when you legitimately try and find reasons not to play someone. And I tried everything in my power because I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? But everything just screams, start David Montgomery.
I'm with you on that one, Mike. So if he busts, you know, I'll take the heat too.
Nice.
Boy, I really wonder what David Montgomery would think if he listened to this podcast, if he'd be like, okay, all right, thanks guys for constantly recommending me this week, or I hate you because you're so embarrassing to do it. But whatever. Either way, I agree with both those calls. That's a great job. All right. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you for coming on, Jared, most accurate human in the history of the world. I'll remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Yeah, draftsharks.com and then on Twitter at SmolaDS.
Awesome. Thanks again to our sponsors, Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every single day. Just go to pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE auction.com. Thanks also to FanDuel. Remember, new users can get a free entry to a contest all season long and a 20% deposit match up to $500. Just go to FanDuel.com/FantasyPros. Also, thanks to Manscaped. Give your nose and ear hair the trim they deserve with the new Weed Whacker. Use the promo code Yates over at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. We'll be back tomorrow talking injuries with Dr. Chow and breaking down every game with Dan and Kyle in the morning. I'll talk to you then.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.